Hey, did you know, Zach, that while we were gone, our 3-year anniversary passed?
I know. We are bad at relationships because we didn't even celebrate. We didn't throw a party. We didn't go on a honeymoon. We suck.
No, we almost forgot about our relationship.
Yeah. Well, life happens.
Well, to season 3 of Breaking Down the Tape, football is back.
Yes.
And so is the degenerates.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Down the Tape. If you thought just because we were gone for a while, I wouldn't say hello to you all, you're wrong. We're back. We're still doing what we do. Football is like 2 days away, so we're recording on a Tuesday morning. Football's 2 days away, baby. The 2023 season is here. As Hector pointed out at the top of the show, we are in our third. Who fucking knows, man? We've been here forever. We're gonna keep fucking doing it.
May fifth. If I'm right, May three years.
Man, we are the worst couple ever. Anyway, this week's simple, man. Football is back. That's it. That's the tagline. That's the headline. That's the fucking description. Football is back. We're talking football, man. We're going to get into the NFL later, but there's a lot of things in college football, you know, to talk about. We'll do the week one matchup, like I said, for the NFL later, some predictions, blah, 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 blah. But let's start it off, man. There is big, big news in college football.
Yeah, I mean, this is 1 year now. Like, I know over the last, well, since we've started breaking down the tape and stuff, where I've been trying to get more into college football, trying to learn more of how college football runs their system compared to the NFL, get more accumulated with the teams and the players and who can potentially be NFL prospects and such and such and such. So I was excited for this college football season. But I also said it in the last episode how this one kind of crept up quietly and there wasn't as much like noise about the start of college football until it just appeared on us.
Oh, well, there was noise made. You're right. And I'll agree with you. The season itself crept up, but boy, did the first couple of weeks make some noise. Now, my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, you know, fucking blanked the shit out of Navy and only gave up 3 points against, I don't know, what are they, Tennessee State University? Fucking things they should be doing. So, you know, 3 cheers to old Notre Dame, but this is what they should be doing, right? They finally have a quarterback. But you want to talk about making some noise, right? The biggest noisemaker in college football over the last couple of years, putting an HBCU on the map, then going over to Colorado, and I mean, in some of the most anticipated, you know, I mean, what, brought over like 86 players, like swapped out the entire fucking team.
He called it.
If you don't want to play, get the fuck out because I don't want you here.
Yes, he called it the way, I mean, I there is some negative and positives of the way that whole signing of him, of Deion Sanders went down and how he told his players, happy you won't be here. Like, oh, I'm bringing in my own guys. I'm going to try out everyone, and you make it or you don't.
What did I think he said, I'm bringing my own baggage. Isn't that what he said?
Like, yeah, he's like, I'm bringing my own baggage. I'm bringing my own guys, and you either ball or you're not going to be here. Hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and 90% of the team did. He brought his own baggage, and then, you know, what, week two, week one of their season, they're playing – a team that showed up in the national championship last year and beat them.
And yeah.
With players playing both ways, this is a topic of conversation that me and you have had before, you know, but with players playing both DB and wide receiver, you know, and beat a team that just showed up in the national championship game.
I mean, should have TCU. I mean, TCU made a great run last year. I give it to them. They did a great run, but were they a team everybody's expecting to make that type of run again, to be in the national championship again? No, I think they I mean, they should have beaten Colorado, a team that only won one game last year. And just, you know, trying to put some respect on your own name from just going to the national championship game. Like, you expect you come in, handle business, move on to the next. You're ranked 17th right now. Probably after this loss, not going to be ranked anymore.
Out. Out.
So, like,
throw him out the club. Throw him out the fucking club.
Deion Sanders knows football. This man knows how to coach football. He knows what he's looking for in players. He got guys that are dogs. Like, they go out there, they don't care about offense, defense, individual stats, nothing. They go out there and they're like, they're just playing like we played backyard football.
Yep. Yep. I mean, look, and to your point, I agree wholeheartedly. Is TCU this perennial powerhouse that's going to keep going back to national championships or keep making the college football playoffs? Absolutely the fuck not. It was a Cinderella run last year. And look, we all love a good story, and they are a good team. And you put it perfectly. No, they're not that perennial powerhouse, but they should have whooped Colorado. That should have been a cupcake game for them, because not only did Colorado win one game last year, now which they've already matched this season, but they've already put up like half of the touchdowns that all of Colorado had last season. Like a quarter of the yards. Like, it's insane what Colorado did in their first fucking game.
Like, TC, I would, you know, the little bit of college knowledge I have on TCU, they seemed last year like they had a pretty well put defense. You let this team put up 45 points on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you let Deion Sanders' son throw for 500 yards.
What, four tutties, no interceptions?
Like, you, that's just not allowed. That's unacceptable. That's like, you don't let that happen.
And then you got a wide receiver out there putting up, what, like 100 yards receiving and then making an interception on defense?
They had four different receivers go over 100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, and I'll get down into the further breakup of the game, but just talking about, I believe his last name is Hunt, the kid who I'm specifically referencing that made the interception. But there's a video of him from, like, someone's taking the video from the sidelines, and kids from the TCU student section are yelling at him, "You're overrated. You're a nobody. You're overrated." And he's like, "Yo, watch this." And that's the play that he lays out and makes this gorgeous interception. Like, it's not like this is a duck thrown to him. He laid out and wanted this thing and went and got it. And the entire student section just pin drop. Like, the best moment you could ever.
Now, my question to you is, we saw TCU do this, you know, somewhat Umbrella story last year, get ranked, national championship game. I'm not saying the same thing's going to happen, but is Colorado going to continue winning, get ranked, and potentially make a run into, like, the college playoff? I won't say a national title, but college playoffs.
So this is what's hard for me, right? Because if we kind of look at this game, I mean, TCU fucking produced on offense. I mean, they had one rusher that went for like 162 yards, you know, another rusher that went for three touchdowns. So it's not like TCU, I mean, they scored 43 points of their own. It's not like they didn't show up to this game. Colorado won this thing on a 4th-and-9 stop. So it's not like this was a, you know, a complete sweep, a complete blowout, you know, and that was the big thing that that people were worried about for Colorado coming into the season. They're not big. They're athletic as fuck, and they're fast as fuck, but they're not big. Anybody who can run the ball is going to hurt them. So with that being said, I don't know. Like, conventional football wisdom says, no, they are not going to be able to make this kind of run because they're going to play in college football. One loss can ruin everything. Now, luckily for them, they're a nobody team. So the one loss hurts them a lot less, but in a league where you can only lose zero times, you got
to
be.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, say, you know, no one's expecting Colorado to go out there and do anything crazy. They're not playing any super crazy talent as of yet And they're not going to get until they start to prove themselves more as a school and as a program, to get tougher teams to come in during their scheduling.
Right.
So if you look at Colorado scheduling, they already took out TCU, which is a huge plus on their notch right now.
Oh, sure. 100%.
So if they continue to, you know, breeze through the easy part of the teams that they play in the schedule, and then if they do manage to take a loss or two from, you know, some ranked teams.
This is my problem, right? Say the season is ended and you have TCU undefeated, right? They blow out the teams they're supposed to. They battle hard with the teams that are good and they still win. They're undefeated. And you've got Alabama undefeated. Ohio State, one loss. Michigan, undefeated. Georgia, one loss. And these are like the losses that I'm referencing. Say they're losses to like big name schools, big powerhouse schools, right? They're not losses to bums. So the losses hurt less. If I'm on the selection committee, how do I look at TCU and say, oh, they deserve to be in over Georgia, who lost to Bama in a 56-54 shootout? You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard.
Like, to me,
make it to say if we're having this undefeated TCU team versus all of these other major fucking powerhouse schools that are just dominating, it's hard to lift them to that level and say yes, they belong.
Like, to me right now, like, TCU taking this loss, they're pretty much done.
Did I say TCU? I meant Colorado, by the way.
But, yeah, I know what you meant, but like, TCU, to me, with this kind of loss to Colorado, like, they're done already.
Oh, yeah. TCU is fucked. Kick him out of the club. They're done. They're never popping back in the 25 this season again. They're done.
They're done. Colorado, to me, can be potentially, if they, you know, keep winning, because you got to keep doing that at least. You got to keep winning.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know how many other ranked teams are going to play this year, but potentially get ranked.
I think they can get ranked, and I'll even go as far as to say I think they can make a top 10 spot. Like, I think they can hit 10. I think they can get ranked as high as 10. Especially if they, like, fucking win in dominating fashion. I definitely think they can get ranked and make it up to 10. But I just, right here, right now, playing
the for those top four, it'll be two.
They can't get there in a year. In 2 years, like, if they dominate this season, you know Prime is going to go out and fucking leverage everything he can to play the big schools.
And you know all these talented players that these big schools don't look at because financial reasons or whatever, they're going to come want to play for Deion.
Sure. And so I think maybe next year, it's way more in the realm of possibility for a national championship hope. Or in year three or four, 100%, if they keep along this trajectory. But I think in this season, even if best case scenario happens, they would only make 10. And now, that's not to them. It's just the way it works.
Now let's move on to another big upset that happened.
I have a question for you. We've talked about this before, about playing both ways. Is that sustainable? Is having your wide receivers play defensive back at the collegiate level, especially if they start to play these big talents over a college career, is that sustainable? Can you go out there and run 20 routes a game and then go defend 20 routes a game?
See, yes, to an extent. I think, like, say this kid from Colorado, he's primarily a wide receiver.
Yes.
That's his position. He's going to go out and play wide receiver the whole game. Now, if you also know he has the talent to play DB and you load manage that and you say, hey, big moment, I kind of need you in there to make a play, that's one thing. But to have him for four quarters play both sides, that's not sustainable.
Okay, so you're talking like big third downs, big passing third downs.
And you know, if you're out there and you're playing wide receiver for four quarters, but there's 10 plays throughout the game where they're like, yo, I need you out on that field to make a play.
Okay. So you're saying, like, load – so you have your position and then load manage that secondary position?
Yeah. You know, you try to – one, you want to keep him as fresh as possible, his legs under him. You don't want him to get fatigued. You don't want to risk an injury, especially an injury coming from your secondary position when primarily you're supposed to be doing something else.
Right, right. Okay. I respect that answer. I respect that answer. Anyway.
Now, moving on over to another big upset that we had, which I think is going to take even a bigger toll on these rankings. Duke takes out Clemson. And not only takes him out, this is not Colorado-TCU kind of matchup. Shits on their life, 28-7.
Now, I didn't watch the game, but Duke, you're a basketball player. What are we doing?
Yeah, I was watching a
conference. What are you doing out here?
I was watching a few plays. I was bouncing in and out on my phone a little bit. And it was funny that one of the announcers said, "Oh, this is Daniel Jones 2.0.
I don't know if that's disrespectful or not. Depends on, I guess, how you look at it. But no, man. Yeah, that's a huge win for Duke. And no, if you have this question, the answer is no. Duke won't be ranked, maybe at 25 once and then drop back out. Duke won't be ranked. Duke can't go anywhere. They won't do anything. This is their one big major win. The ACC is still a basketball conference until they prove me otherwise. But Clemson, what are we fucking doing here? I know they're an ACC team too. Don't hop on my dick. But what? Come on, Clemson.
That's the thing. Like, I agree. Duke is not a football program. They probably will never win a national title. They'll probably never be ranked more than 20th in any given season.
Yeah.
But for Clemson, who was just ranked 9th.
Not today, Satan.
You might drop as low as low, mid 20s.
Yeah,
I don't know how far down you're gonna drop, but I think this is borderline. Like, you take one L from a ranked team now, you're unranked.
Oh yeah, and to top it off, and to build on your point, their season's done. And this is the hard part about college football. Their season's already done. You have zero opportunity to make the top four. You're just playing for a Sugar Bowl or an All-State Bowl, or because you're done. Your season's over with. You can't lose in that fashion to Duke and then turn around and say, "But I can play with Alabama." No, you absolutely can the fuck not. As a Notre Dame fan, okay? No, you can't. Trust me. I played this game before. We thought we could play Alabama too in the national championship. It did not go well at all. Not at all.
You can't. No, this. Yeah. So, is this the end of the Dabo Swinney like dominance in Clemson? I feel like, and we've had me and some of the guys were having discussions on the Glide this morning about it, and it was like, we've seen Dabo dominate college football when he has a perennial Hall of Fame quarterback. But when he doesn't,
yeah,
it doesn't look as good. And then when he also, and Jimmy Pibbs brought this up, loses one of the greatest defensive coordinators in college football, and you let him leave to Oklahoma, now your defense is exposed.
It got exposed by Duke.
Is Clemson on the, like, is their dominant run now going back to normal?
There's definitely cracks in the levee, right? Like, you can't lose in this fashion to Duke and say, "Nope, we're still the Clemson of old." You're not. It would be too early for me to turn on Dabo Swinney that quickly. Like, we're not talking some nobody coach who had one good year. We're talking about Dabo fucking Swinney, right? Like, one of the more dominant coaches in college football of this generation, you know. So I wouldn't be so quick to turn my back on him, but I would definitely say there are cracks in the levee and you can start to see the leaking. For sure.
And I agree 100%. Clemson is done.
This season, yeah.
He's done. Unlike my Gamecocks, who also took a loss to UNC, but UNC is one of the better teams that are unranked.
Right.
And mind you, the Gamecocks also is one of the better teams unranked. They have a better shot of rejuvenating their season, going on some, getting some wins, and possibly getting ranked than Clemson is trying to recuperate anything from this season.
Yeah, 100%. You said it before. I mean, I don't think they're going to get knocked out of the top 25 with this first loss, but any sort of bad loss or any sort of loss from here on forward or any sort of bad, ugly win, you know what I mean? Like, they're in a very precarious position.
Like, right now, Clemson's ranked 9th. I think with this loss, they dropped to around 17th or 18th.
I was about to say the same thing. They gotta be put at, like, 17, 18, 19, in that range.
And TCU was already 17 with their loss. They're definitely unranked.
Yeah, kick him. Like I said before, kick him out the club. They're done. They're done. And I want to talk about another upset that we didn't bring up in pre, but Florida State beating LSU. Fuck Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. Obviously, it was a good thing. Fuck Brian Kelly. Get smoked, LSU.
First of all, LSU is one of my favorite college football teams. You don't go out as a head coach and say what you said and then not back it up.
Didn't he pretty much say we're going to kick their ass?
He said we're going to go and we're just going to whoop FSU's ass.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yep.
And you got mollywopped.
Yeah, you got like doubled. It was like 42 to 21 or something like that.
LSU's chances of getting ranked and trying to make a bowl is now pretty much probably shot as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the only reason they will make a bowl game, A, because there's fucking 600 of them now. There's the Little Caesars half citrus bowl and whatever the fuck they have going on.
The Ryobi bowl.
Facts. Jimmy Fallon has a fucking bowl game. I mean, look, anyway, so they'll make a bowl game, but the only reason they're making a bowl game is because they're LSU. You can't not have LSU in some sort of bowl game. Sure, they're going to make some fucking, you know, patio pavers bowl or whatever the fuck is, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna make something because they're LSU, but as far as anything that's going to be watchable TV, no, they're done. You can't, like you said, because you have to understand, like, with college football, gone are the days of this algorithm that nobody understands. It is a group of people that looks at your football team and goes, wow, this was a good win, or this was a bad loss, or you beat a team by 3 that you should have beat by 30. You still suck. Like, there are groups of humans that are actually deciding your fate. So for you to come out there and say, yeah, we're going to whoop their ass and then get your ass whooped, that sways hearts and minds. And this college football committee can say, no, we don't take into account what he said before the game. But you do. You do. Because now you're looking at LSU and Brian Kelly in some sort of way and you're feeling some sort of way. They're done. They're done. They're going to play some bullshit little bowl game that doesn't matter. The Michelin bowl or whatever.
the Michelin bowl. Hey, I got Michelin tires warehouse right down by my house.
Well,
Dabo Sweeney could go get a job over there.
Yeah, after this, pretty much.
But the last thing I want to touch on, unless you have something else in college football before we start changing the subjects, you had mentioned something last week that we did not bring up. And it is related to college football. And I wanted to bring it up in the last episode, and I forgot to. So we went over – we were talking about how I saw the Johnny Manziel Netflix series.
Yeah.
The movie thing, you know. Yeah. And the shit that went on while he was, you know, from his childhood, going into high school, college, Texas A&M, to the NFL, all that jazz. You had mentioned how Reggie Bush, it comes out that, you know, Reggie Bush did not do anything wrong. USC did everything wrong. And Reggie Bush was punished for it and got his Heisman Trophy taken away. And they still don't want to give it back. And yep. I don't think he wants it back at this point.
Fuck that, I would.
You also mentioned it is crazy how Johnny Manziel comes out with his Netflix series, exposes all the illegal shit that he and his best friend came up with, and they still have not come out and said anything about removing his Heisman or any type of repercussions toward him, literally saying, well, I broke every single NCAA rule.
Yep. Not only did I break federal, state, local laws, but I broke NCAA rules. Like, I literally spit in your fucking face and did whatever the fuck I wanted. And the NCAA is like, yeah, that sounds about right. You're okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
you made us $700, close to $800 million, and you're white.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how this is any different than the Reggie Bush. Arguably, it's fucking worse. Arguably, Johnny Manziel has done everything to lose his motherfucking Heisman. But nope. Ain't no one saying nothing. NCAA's
out. Reggie Bush accepted from USC $300,000 to help him and his family, and he changed college football.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel comes out saying how he wants to just party like a rock star, do a lot of drugs, fuck bitches, make money.
I mean,
and go out and play football, and it's okay.
Yep. Yep. Because I don't know. I one could make the argument, well, the NCAA is an institution that has power over the colleges and not the individual players. Go fuck yourself. This is a chance where they can make a fucking statement and say, we are holding you equally as accountable as these institutions that do these wrong things. But they're not. They're not. They're just completely, like, if Johnny Manziel, this is the crazy part. If Johnny Manziel was an upstanding Christian religious boy, whatever you want to say, never broke a single rule in his life, never did anything wrong, but signed a fucking autograph for money. A parent paid $20 for a fucking 5-year-old to have his autograph. The NCAA would have suspended him for a fucking year. Despite his upstanding character in this scenario. But this dude is the scummiest of scumbags doing scumbag things. Like, look, I get it. Who doesn't want to do drugs and fuck bitches, make money, and play football? I respect it. But coming out and fucking admitting to all of these things, and the NCAA is like, yeah, okay. Sure. Whatever. Like, that's crazy. I can't fathom it. I can't see the argument for it not being, like, institutional racism. Like, it's just so deep inbred that people just don't even understand. They're like, no, it's got to be something else.
The fact that you don't ever see the faces of the people that are on these committees speaks enough of what the NCAA is. It's a monopoly. It is the Illuminati in such, you know, words. It's a group of not even billionaires, most likely. A group of probably some of the most wealthiest people on the face of the planet that are making these decisions on how pretty much NFL's not scripted. Well, college football is.
One could argue. One could definitely argue. Because like I said before, it really comes down to whether you make a bowl game or not, whether you're number 5 or number 4, or number 6 or number 4, you know, really comes down to the opinions of a handful of people and whether they think you had an ugly win versus a good win. There could be an undefeated team sitting at number 5 and a one-loss team sitting at number 4. And, well, because that one loss was to the number 1 team and, you know, number 5, while undefeated, had a couple of ugly wins, they don't get in. But they have the better record. It makes no sense. Now, I understand it's not as cut and dry as the NFL. There's fucking 300 Division I schools. I get it. It can't be as cut and dry. And the old BCS fucking algorithm was a piece of alien mathematics that no fucking single person on this planet understood. But it's got to come down to more than just 10 people's opinions. You know what I mean? And then, like you said, even on the back end of the thing, who are these judges of who gets penalized and who doesn't? Because USC paid $300,000, but Johnny Manziel was snowing cork off a stripper's asshole. Fucking, he doesn't lose his fucking Heisman. We're all about, you know, upstanding and we're doing.
The man was drunk during a game. He literally said it. I was binging, hung the fuck over. My coach looks at me, Cliff Kingsbury, who knew everything that was fucking going on.
That's a whole
and
thing.
And said, as long as you can play and you can stand on that field, I do not fucking care.
So, interesting follow-up, by the way, to all of this. Do you think that's why Cliff Kingsbury disappeared off the face of the planet? Like, I know the Cardinals were bad. I know him and Kyler Murray were having a back and forth. But obviously, Netflix didn't come out with this thing 2 days before it came out, right? Like, they were filming for a while. They were producing this for a while. One could assume this took about a year's worth of filming and production before they finally put it out on the table. Well, a year's worth of filming and production lines up with about the time that Cliff Kingsbury is like, well, while things might be bad for the Cardinals, and I'm probably the root of the problem, I'm just going to disappear from the face of the planet. Okay, bye.
Makes sense.
And then Johnny Manziel comes out with all this shit and says, oh yeah, Cliff knew about it.
It makes sense.
I don't know. We brought up the Illuminati. I could be a conspiracy theorist. Just saying, I don't believe in coincidences. And when it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck,
it must be a dog.
Yeah, most likely the fucking fish. So, just saying. Just fucking saying.
I'm just saying, Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back.
Yes.
Johnny Manziel should probably get his shit stripped. Yes. Or vice versa. If you're going to let the man keep it, let both men keep it. Or if you're going to strip one man, strip both men. But you got to make it fair.
Yep, keep it even. If you're going to break the rules, this is the punishment. If you're not, then you won't. Period, end of story. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Whole fucking heartedly. But all I got to say is college football is going to be fun. College football is always fun. It's always fun every season because of the Cinderella stories.
I'm getting more into it because now, you know, almost going on 2 full years back down in the Carolinas and Columbia only being 15 minutes away. You know, sure. I'm in Gamecock County and I'm deep into it now for my Gamecocks. I'm gonna try to hit 2 games this year at the stadium. And last game of the season, November 25th, Gamecocks versus Clemson here in Columbia.
Oh, that's going to be nice. That's going to be a good game. That's going to be – and you know what? South Carolina, they really have – it's so perfect for them. I just saw a college game day photo the other day, and someone's holding up a sign in the background.
Oh, yeah.
It said, women love our cocks or something like that.
Chicks get railed by your cocks.
Yeah, and I'm like, you by guys are cocks. Like – You're not even hiding it at this point. Like, we get it, right? It's the game.
I was watching that live on ESPN while the guy, I'm like, they're allowing this?
You're not even, because technically, one could make the argument that they're not being sexual. But you are. They're just not even.
I love it. That's, I think, I moved to the perfect area.
Oh,
for like, our team is called Gamecocks. Our mascot's name is Cocky.
Yeah, 100%. This it was South Carolina was always meant for you. You just didn't know it yet. But no, man, I'm excited for college football. I'm more excited for the NFL. Like we said before, we got 2 fucking days until the start of the NFL season, and I can't fucking wait.
Oh, so what we got now? What we got next? What's the next topic of ranting should we go on right now?
That's what I was just going to talk about, man. I'm talking about football. That's all I want to talk about. So let's just talk about the NFL, man. Let's talk about week one. We can do some predictions. We can do some season predictions. I know you wanted to bring up some thoughts that you had for what players might have X amount of yards and stuff like that. So we'll just go through it team by team, and if a player or a team stands out to you, we'll bring it up. How's that sound?
I'm excited for that. Yeah, why don't we start with the AFC West?
AFC West. Let's see. So we got the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Chargers, and Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos.
Yes.
So you want to do season predictions?
We can do season predictions. Let's go what we're thinking. Final season predictions before the season starts. I'm not too worried about week one games as much. So in the AFC West, I know the Chiefs are playing the Lions this Thursday.
Yep.
So that's an already off the rip. Going to be a very interesting game. I got the Chiefs winning the AFC West. I think they're going to get 13 wins. I'm going to put the Chargers at 11 wins. I think the Raiders and the Broncos end up tying with 9.
That's fair.
But, you know, you have to rank them in a certain order. I do believe the Broncos end up in last place still.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I got, I definitely have the Chiefs going like 13-4, 14-3 kind of situation. I'm still holding hope. I've got Jay Herbo breakout year. I've got them coming in at like 12 wins. I've got the Raiders coming in 9, ceiling 10. And I've got the Broncos only sitting at like 7 or 8. You know, with Jerry Jeudy hurt, I know it's not a full season injury, but Jerry Jeudy hurt, you know, first year with Sean Payton back. You know, everyone can sit there and be like, oh, look at Sean Payton, he's amazing. And he was a good coach. But he only won one Super Bowl, let's be real. And he's going up against who is making
a with an asterisk.
With an asterisk, exactly. You're going up against a coach who is arguably making a name for himself as the best coach of our generation. You can make an argument that Andy Reid is, in fact, a better coach than Bill Belichick. And in a very tough division with a Russell Wilson who saw his worst year. Yeah, he's got a strong defense, but I don't know. I don't like the Broncos that much. I can't imagine they're going to have that massive of a bounce back.
I agree. I think all the fantasy drafts we've been doing over the last couple weeks and stuff like that, I'm like looking at the depth chart of the Broncos, and I'm like, this team is just abysmal. Yeah. Like, you got Russell Wilson, who's not the former self of him. No. You got no running backs.
Who do they have? Like,
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. Their number one receiver, Jerry Jeudy, is hurt, and he's been hurt a lot, and he's shown flashes, but he's no Calvin Ridley. He's no Garrett Wilson. He's just Jerry Jeudy. Duchek is an up and coming tight end, but there's only so much you could do with that.
Yeah,
you know, you either become a Andrews or a Kelsey or a Kittle, or you're not.
Right.
And the defense is still sus, so I just don't see anything there. You know, the Raiders, I want to see how Jimmy G works over there. I think him and Davante Adams will have a pretty decent connection, but all you got over there is Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs. I don't think Josh Jacobs
Renfro and Jacoby Myers don't blow up your stat chart?
Oh my God, those are number one draft picks right there. I think Davante Adams is going to do Davante Adams things. He's always going to do Davante Adams things, but I also think he's going to request a trade after this season.
Yeah, if he's there all season.
Exactly. You go to the Chargers. I always have faith for Justin Herbert. You've known me. I've been a Justin Herbert fan. I thought he was going to win the MVP last year. He had a down year with all the injuries. Keenan Allen's back and healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy. Mike Williams is still a force. Let him stay healthy.
And they just drafted, I think, like Quintarius Johnson or something like
that. Yeah, You know, we've both have said the Chargers are a team on paper Super Bowl contender easily. They just need to put it together. They need to put it together, and this is probably the last season where they can try to make something happen, because Austin Eckler does not seem happy there.
Yeah, it's a very, very tenuous situation in my mind.
And then when you go to the Chiefs, the only thing I question with the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is always going to make something happen. Patrick Mahomes is always going to be Patrick Mahomes. But it starts to hurt when you go from a guy like Tyreek Hill to Juju Smith to now, where are we? Like, you don't have a true number one anymore. Kadarius Toney is still inconsistent. We don't know what that's going to pan out to be. You don't have Juju Smith anymore. He went to New England, and they're saying his knees at any moment are going to fucking explode.
Saw that.
They got Sky Moore, and they got, you know, they lost Mecole Hardman. Like, who are you really throwing to besides Travis Kelce? That can only last but so long.
Yeah, and I hear you. I understand the questions there, right? They don't have a major backfield to speak of with Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But they do have Sky Moore. They do have this kid, Justin Ross. They're relying on a lot of younger talent. The one thing that I will say, though, that they have going in their favor is they do have Andy Reid. I mean, I don't remember their fucking GM's name for the life of me, but clearly the two of them together know what the fuck they're doing. Two Super Bowls.
Andy Reid came out and said he took a play from a janitor and it worked.
Fuck it. Full send, bro. If it's stupid and it works, it's clearly not stupid. So, I mean, look, Andy Reid knows what he's doing. So I hear you with, like, the depth chart concerns. But this is a team that's proven time and time and time again that they're going to figure it out. So I'm not that worried about them. I'm just not. I keep going back in my head whenever I have doubts about the Chiefs, I envision Patrick Mahomes parallel 3 inches from the fucking ground throwing a dot that hit a receiver dead in the face mask that he dropped. You know what I mean? Like, I envision that very real thing. That's not a daydream. That's a very real thing that occurred in real life. And I'm like, no, there's no way this team doesn't.
It is so real that they entered it in the new Madden game. Like, what? You can make that throw in the new Madden game.
Just what absurd. I'll get off this horse because I'll stay here forever. He's just an absurd human. It just.
So as long as Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are on the Kansas City Chiefs, most likely the Chiefs are going to be the front runners for that division, and most likely the AFC conference, as long as they stay atop of the leaderboard. You know,
they've earned that benefit of the doubt.
Yes. NFC West.
We got
the Niners, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and
I'm bad at this game. If I went through it enough, I'd probably be better.
It's because we don't care about them enough.
I'll have to, like, type it in real quick.
It's us. Cardinals, Seahawks, Niners, and...
We're real football fans, we swear.
It's not my division.
Cardinals, Seahawks, Niners, Rams. How did we forget about the Rams?
Oh, that's why. Because fuck them Rams. Like, shit. Okay, so we got... Okay.
Oof.
I still take the Niners. I'm still taking the Niners to win the division. Only by a game though.
Yeah.
I'm only giving them 11.
We got, you know, no one would believe us that we don't go over these things and pray.
I'm only giving them 11. Nick Bosa is not happy. I'm not 100% sure on Brock Purdy. Then you got Sam Darnold as your backup because you gave away Trey Lance. I'm not 100% on them anymore. The defense is going to do what the defense does, but I'll give them 11 and I give them the division. Then I got the Seahawks at 10. I get the Seahawks 10 wins. Still think they got a little bit of work to do. Geno has a little bit of a fall off, but enough to push them right back to another playoff run. I like what's his name. He has a weird name. They just drafted him. Jack, the receiver, Jackson
JSN.
Yeah, JSN. Yes, I think that kid is going to be a stud, a star receiver. Watch out for that tandem as Lockett starts to get to that retirement stage and you pair him up with DK. I think that is a great fucking pairing. And then obviously Walker doing what he can do. As long as he can stay healthy, I think Walker's going to have another good 1,000-yard season. Then I'll put the Rams only slightly ahead of the Cardinals. I think both are abysmal. I think Matt Stafford is done. He got the chip that he needed, and it was just in time before his shoulder gives out. Cooper Kupp is a former version of himself. Doesn't look good. Aaron Donald is already being said to being on the market of getting out of the Rams organization or retiring, because he's already also thought about retiring. So he said he wanted to retire after eight years, and he's still here. They literally said fuck them picks, and now it's hitting them. Yeah. Now it's hitting them. And then the Cardinals are just abysmal. They're just Kyler Murray is the. I don't want to sound. I'm not going to say it because it's going to sound racist. But he's the other version of Johnny Manziel. Yeah, he's the other version of Johnny Manziel. Besides the fact that he traded out alcohol for video games.
Yeah, he's bad.
He traded out drugs and alcohol for video games and acting like a goddamn prima donna. He should have went into baseball. Probably would have loved it a lot more. Mm-hmm. And would have been able to make a lot more money. Cardinals might end up with the number one draft pick of the 2024 draft.
So the words out of my mouth, man. I'm thinking the same thing. Niners at 11. I'm taking Seahawks at 10, maybe 11. Rams at like 5 wins. And I'm taking the Cardinals at 1. And with a strong chance to go 0-17. That is a dumpster motherfucking fire. It is just, it's bad over there. But yeah, as far as the Niners go, your points are 100% correct. You know, yes, they have Debo Samuel, they have Brandon Ayuk, but Brock Purdy is a great Cinderella story. And I'm, you know, me, you know, your quarterback just has to not fuck up. Maybe he's the not fuck up quarterback and he can lead this team pretty well. That seems fair. Their defense is great, you know, and it'll do what their defense does. If Nick Bosa goes, that's obviously a massive change in that. I'll never believe Christian McCaffrey will play another full season, you know, and who do they have backing him up? Elijah Mitchell, who's a good running
back. And also had ACL tears and whatnot.
Yeah. Injuries is going to be this team's downfall. The Seahawks, everything you said is correct. The only thing that I would add is the running back that they drafted, Zach Charbonnet.
I keep hearing about that kid. I don't know about him enough, though.
I think he's going to get a lot more snaps than people think, which is A, bad for fantasy owners for Kenneth Walker, but B, I think that's going to help the longevity of both of those. I mean, we're in a day and age in the NFL where you can't have a premier running back. You need to have by committee, and I think that's going to be a huge boost for them as well. So that's why I say maybe 11 wins, maybe a division win for them, but I put them really at 10. And then, everything you said with the Rams, and you have, what, Tutu Atwell, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, who just saw a specialist because he can't figure out what's going on with his hamstring. You know, the entire thing that helps you fucking run, the one tendon in your body, their muscle in your body that's, like, the most important for quick
connected to everything else.
You know, so the fact that he can't figure out what's wrong with that is super concerning. And you're right, Matt Stafford he got his fucking ring, and the Rams said fuck them picks, and now they have 12 of them, and they're gonna get more when they trade Aaron Donald, because they're going to trade Aaron Donald, and
if he doesn't retire,
and then they're gonna go into full rebuild. It is what it is. They won their ring. Hey, good for them. You go into a rebuild for a couple of years. But yeah, as of this year, 5 wins, and we've already covered what a dumpster fire the Cardinals are. It's just awful, awful. This needs to be like European soccer and just kick them out of the league, because it's just bad.
I'll let you pick the next division.
Let's keep it in the NFC. Let's go NFC South. another division I could not give a flying fuck.
Okay, we got Atlanta. We got New Orleans. We got
the Panthers.
The Panthers.
And the Bucks.
And the Bucks.
I'll start with this one. I'm going to start with that. I'm going to give you time to think because I got an opinion. I know that Derek Carr came off of his statistically worst season since his rookie year. I know that he looked like hot fucking dog water over there in Las Vegas. But Slanty McSlanterson theoretically is coming back healthy. You got Chris Olave. You got Kamara coming back after four games. I think this is going to be one of Derek Carr's best years, and I'm putting the Saints on top of the NFC South. I know that
they did acquire Jamal Williams too from the Lions,
And I know that the Saints winning the NFC South with the style of competition they're facing isn't exactly a hot fucking take here, but I definitely think Derek Carr is going to have one of his career high seasons. I honestly have the Panthers at two. It's not that I'm in love with them. It's that I hate everybody else more. I know Atlanta fans are going to come, but Bijan Robinson, great. He might do great, but the team won't. It's just my opinion. And I'm not saying the Panthers are going to dominate everybody else but the Saints, but I just have them coming in second because, I mean, it's a coin flip to me. And then I'll take the Falcons, and then I'll take the Bucks. Look, sorry, Baker. You're going to get pulled halfway through the season. Kyle Trask is going to fucking start after, like, eight games. It's just that place is a fucking – they've got nobody, too. Chris Evans is going to be on the Jets. He's going to leave before fucking week three. Chris Godwin might – has even been rumored to be fucking traded as well. Who do they have at running back? Rashad White? Awesome. Then you have at – fucking Cade Otton at tight end, awesome. You know, and as much as I love Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator, he's not a head coach, period. So I just, they might win five games, the Bucks.
I differ to you in this division, but with certain teams I agree with. So I think Atlanta is going to win this division. Atlanta was a feisty team last year. I know they had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. Their run game was a huge part of their offense. They had a pretty middle-of-the-pack defense, though. With the addition of Bijan Robinson, I think Desmond Ridder is going to start getting his, you know, his feet under him, start getting, you know, used to NFL gameplay. You got Drake London. You got Kyle Pitts. I think with Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, Cordarrelle Patterson, you got a three-headed monster in the run game. It is going to open up Kyle Pitts a little bit more when it comes to those play actions, those dink and dunks, those hurry up and get me a first down or use your legs. He's a big-ass tight end. Yeah. He's a wide receiver playing tight end. Strong this man kid. Could make some people miss and also can truck some people over. I got the Falcons winning the division. I think they get 10 wins, but that's all that's needed to win the division. I see the Saints in second. Falcons possibly 11, with the Saints possibly 10. I see the Saints at second. I do agree with everything you're saying. I think Derek Carr with Kamara coming back, Michael Thomas coming back, Chris Olave, they got Jamal Williams. They got a pretty, you know, middle-of-the-pack defense as well. He will have he looks like he's happy and he fits in New Orleans.
He's like just
looks nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully that pans out for him. Then I got the Panthers at third. I just don't see it. Adam Thielen's your number one receiver. Running back is middle of the pack, I guess. Defense, I'm just not sold on them. And then I got the Bucks. I do agree that Baker doesn't even finish the entire season. But Kyle Trask is also not the guy.
No.
That's just it's another version of the Rams.
Yeah.
It's another version of the Rams besides the fact that they didn't say fuck them picks. They just kept quiet and fell into the same boat.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. So let's take it over. You know what? Let's finish the NFC. Let's finish and we'll go NFC North. Packers, Lions, Bears, and Vikings.
Packers, Lions, Bears, and Vikings. I got the Vikings still winning this one. I think, what is it, Alexander Mack? Yep. I think he's shown to be, I don't think he's a true number one back, but I think he's shown to be enough for the run game. Hopefully they got a decent backup. They still have JJ. You know, yeah. Justin Jefferson is going to be the guy that he is. I do like Addison, the wide receiver they picked up in the draft. I think he's going to have a really good season as a rookie. They still got a pretty good fucking defense, and there's not much in that division where I see the Vikings not taking it. Who else you said you got in there? You got the Packers, the Bears, and the
Lions.
I got the Lions at two. I got the Lions at two. I am sold on the Lions. I think the Lions are the real fucking deal. They have a defense. They have an offense. They have an old line. You know, they have all the pieces there. They just have to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I got the Lions at two. I got the Packers at three. And I got the Bears at four. Packers, although they still got a good defense, a great offensive line. You know, they're going to rely heavy on Aaron Jones. Jordan Love hasn't shown me anything. So no. I'm not 100% sure on that. And then the Bears are the Bears. They got a lot of draft picks. They got a lot of money coming up. They're heading in the right direction. I like Cole Kmet. I think DJ Moore and Justin Fields will be a great connection. They still got Darnell Mooney. But that team is just like, since the 80s, you just don't touch them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I have a little bit of a disagreement with you. I think this is going to be the year of the underdog. You said you were sold on the Lions. I apparently am more sold. Give me the Lions at one. I have bought in to everything that they've got going on in Detroit. I love it. I think they're going to win the division. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Vikings obviously come in too. And we're talking like a final game of the season kind of thing that give the Lions the boost. Obviously, like I said, Vikings coming too. For every reason that you stated, they still have Jake Jettis. They still have Alexander Mattison, who wasn't a scrub. I like that rookie that they picked up. You know, Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I don't want to hear all the fucking stat dorks fucking telling me how he's statistically one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't want to fucking hear it. When he shows up, when the sun goes down, fucking talk to me. Until then, I am of the firm belief that Kirk Cousins' quarterback powers are directly related to the sun being at fucking high noon. All right? So, fuck off, stat dorks. Secondly, at third, I have the Bears. I agree. Again, I think all the pieces are there. They are not Khalil Herbert, Justin Fields, fucking Darnell Mooney, DJ Moore. The defense is okay. I think they're knocking at the door. I just don't know if this is going to be the year that they put it together, especially in a division that is surprisingly and very quickly become competitive. And then, yeah, the Packers are in fourth place to me. I like Dobbs. I like Christian Watson. I like A.J. Dillon. But it's a team that clearly has no direction, right? Like, they knew with Aaron Rodgers what they were doing with their lives, and Jordan Love, they just don't really seem to know what direction they're trying to move forward in. And I just don't think Jordan Love is the answer with the weapons that they have right now. So I got them coming in fourth. You know, and I'm talking like six wins kind of fourth.
What did they end up last year?
I honestly have no idea.
Oh, well, no. You were talking about the Packers. But yeah, I think the Packers ended up last year with Rodgers, what, 10?
Something like that.
9? Something like that. All right.
It was still a respectable season.
Let's go over now to the AFC North.
Okay. Okay.
We got the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals.
There we go. Yeah, you know, I don't care about an early season injury. It's still Joe Burrow. Yeah, you have fucking three receivers that are number ones on 30 other NFL teams. I mean, T. Higgins is almost anywhere else. He's a number one. Jamar Chase is obviously a number one. And I can't even remember.
Tyler Boyd,
thank you, is a number one on 30 other fucking NFL teams. You know, they've got a good defense. They've got a good offensive line. They've got fucking Joe Mixon in the backfield. Yes, I know he potentially is going to face suspension over what's going on, but nothing's been levied yet, so I'm not going to take that into account. The only downside to the Bengals is Zach Taylor, their head coach. He is just atrocious and has no idea what he's doing. If his team wasn't so goddamn talented, he'd look like the buffoon that he is. I got the Ravens, and it's going to be a dogfight again. The Ravens are a good team. Obviously, DeMar Jackson, you can't trust any running back in that backfield because they're always injured. But if they were to stay healthy, they'd be a dangerous team. You got OBJ on the outside, Rashad Bateman on the outside, Zay Flowers, who I think is just going to fucking explode, Mark Andrews. I like the Ravens too. I mean, we're talking like 13 games and 12 games respectively. And then give me the Browns at like 9 wins, and give me the Steelers at 8. I like Kenny Pickett and I like George Pickens, but I just don't think they're together yet. Like that the rest of the team is, you know, I like Najee Harris. I like the Jaylen Warren kid that they just picked up. You know, obviously TJ Watt, one of the better defenders in the league, but yeah, I think this might be Mike Tomlin's first losing season.
Wow.
I do. Genuinely do.
So I also have the Bengals winning the division. I'm not worried about Joe Burrow. Not yet. I know his legs, you know, it's only like year 3 or 4 for him, and he's had some issue with his legs, ACL tear, knee, and all that. Not worried about the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to be the Bengals. They're kind of like the Chiefs, start off a little slow and then just heat the fuck up going toward playoffs and into the playoffs. I got them winning also around 13 games. Then I have also the Ravens. I see the Ravens at 11 or 12. The offense is explosive. Don't know how well the ball is going to get spread around now that you have OBJ, Zay Flowers, and Bateman. You still got J.K. Dobbins in the backfield. Lamar's going to be running the ball.
Bus.
Yeah, so it's a lot for him to have to spread the ball around. A little bit more concerned about the defense. They're not what the Ravens defense used to be. So I have some concerns with a lot of high-scoring games that might not go their way.
Fair.
But I still got them at 2. But then I change up. I got the Steelers at 3. I think the Steelers win around maximum 10. I think we're going to see a different side of the Kenny Pickett, George Pickens era. I think that is going to be dynamic. George Pickens is shown now to be a potential real true number one. And Deontay Johnson, people still forget that he's on this squad and he is a great receiver. The only problem and the reason why people are giving him so much backlash is because he didn't find the end zone a lot last year.
True.
But the man caught everything. He just needed touchdowns.
That's true.
So I think that's also going to change. I think T.J. Watt's being paid, the defense, Minka Fitzpatrick and them boys, they're going to do what they do. So I got the Steelers at 3. And then I got the Browns at 4, but it's not like it's a bad margin. So I got the Bengals at 13, the Ravens at 11, the Steelers at 10, and the Browns at 9.
Okay. Okay.
I think Deshaun Watson gets some rust off of him. I think him and Amari Cooper, and especially people keep sleeping on this man, Donovan Peoples-Jones was a big asset for him last year in the slot. I think that's going to be huge. Now they got Elijah Moore. You put Donovan Peoples-Jones outside, you put Elijah Moore in the slot, or vice versa. They can kind of interchange. You still got top three running back in the league in Nick Chubb. I'm not sold on everything above of what's on the field. I think on paper, they got what it needs to get it done, but everything above that is what questions me.
That's fair. That's fair. Want to move over to the AFC South?
Now we're going to the AFC South.
We got the Jags, the Texans, the Colts, and the Titans. What a dumpster fire fucking division.
Yeah. I got the Jags winning this division. I think they're going to be really, really good. I think Trevor Lawrence takes a – I know we've been on, like, Trevor Lawrence bash train. I know we're not sold on him, especially with the hype of him being Peyton Manning. But I think he takes a jump up from last year. I think the connection with him and Calvin Ridley is going to be great. ETN Jr. is coming back. You know, they got the defense is actually under the radar. I think the defense is actually really good. Potentially top 10 or 12. I got them winning the division. Then I got who was in there? Is it the Jags, the Colts, the
Texans and Titans.
Texans. Then I got the Titans. I got the Titans. Then I got the Colts. Then I got the Texans. The Titans, it was, with Derrick Henry, you can never count him out. They got D-Hop now at his acquisition over there. I know Tannehill is still the quarterback. They're contemplating to put in Malik Willis or one of the mother boys. Titans still got to be number two. The Colts, with this whole Jonathan Taylor thing, it's not looking pretty. I know they got one of the better offensive lines in the game. Quarterback still questions me. Defense on paper looks nice, but they're sus. And we don't know what's going to happen with Jonathan Taylor. And then Houston Texans are just abysmal. So until I see otherwise, they stay where they're at.
That's fair. That's fair. So I agree with you. I got the Jags, but I only have them at like 10 and 7. I don't think it's like a huge, huge year.
I got them at 11.
Here's where we differ big time. I got the Texans at number 2. I think the Texans are going to surprise some people. I like that kid Tank Dell. I like a couple of changes they've made in the offseason. I think the culture's changed a little bit. I like the Texans, so I got them at number 2. It's only like 8-9 wins, but I still got them at 2. Then I've got the Titans. Again, Derrick Henry, you know, is going to lead the team here, but last year we started to see some cracks in the levee. Finally, first time ever, he's missed a significant portion of the season with injury. I only think that's going to get worse with time, unfortunately. I mean, this dude touches the ball fucking 30, 40 times a game. That's just those are absurd numbers to get hit by fucking freakish humans 30 fucking times in a 3-hour span and expect to continue to do that. So I think we're going to start to see him slow down a lot, and they don't have much of an answer. Yeah, they've got D-Hop, but they've got D-Hop. And with all due respect, an age
who's also losing a touch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you've got an aged Ryan Tannehill who never had the touch to lose. You have a losing the touch D-Hop and a losing the touch fucking Derrick Henry. Like, it's just not looking good for them. And then the Colts, because Jim Irsay has just turned this team into a joke, an absolute joke. You know, Anthony Richardson is probably one of the more intriguing rookies in this entire draft, and maybe one of the most intriguing players in this entire season, because of his just absurd raw physical talent that, who knows, it could turn into Patrick Mahomes, it could turn into Ryan Leaf. This kid is going to go one of two ways, and it's a very intriguing watch. I hope for his sake that it's a Patrick Mahomes fucking turn, but you never know what's going on. Jonathan Taylor's not playing a snap for that football team. It would stun me, and I don't even know who they have as backup. They've got a good offensive line.
Well, they had Mac. I think he got hurt. He comes. Taylor comes back in four games because he's on the PUP list.
Yeah, if he comes back. They only threw him on the PUP list so they could buy fucking time. And it's not time that I think is going to suit them well. Jim Irsay has already run his mouth far too much. Like, don't press send, Jim. Like, delete your fucking account. Whoever your PR people are, take his fucking phone away.
Yeah. Do what Steve Harvey did and fire the guy running his social media.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I'm looking at one or two wins here for the Titans or for the Colts. And now we have left is the NFC East and the AFC East.
We'll take the NFC. Well, come on. We know how we're going.
I figured that's the way this show was going. I figured. Obviously, Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, Giants.
So, NFC East. Honestly, in my opinion, AFC and NFC East, the two hardest divisions in baseball. I mean, in football right now. With a close third that you can put on the AFC North.
Oh, so I would have said West for the third, but I see. I hear you.
I put third at AFC North, but realistically, I got the Eagles first time repeating, and I don't know how long since this division has repeated.
Yeah, it's like fucking 20 years.
Yeah. So I got the Eagles repeating. I think they get another 12-win season. I think they get 12. And then it gets hard. Then it gets hard. Even though the Eagles, I see some, their run game scares me a little bit now, even though their offensive line is still great. The defense is still great. They still got the receivers, but, you know, not the run game, I'm not sold on. I don't want to be biased.
But you also don't want to say the Cowboys.
But I also don't want to say the Cowboys.
This is a fight in a New Yorker's heart.
I'm going to give it to the Giants. I'm going Giants. I'm giving it to the Giants. The Giants are two. I think the Eagles get 12. I think the Giants get 10. And I know they need help on some receivers still. Saquon's back. I think – I hope they get a deal done with him after the season and we can put all this behind us. They have a great offensive line. They have a great defensive line. They need to fill in some linebacker positions and a little bit on the corners. But their receivers are up and coming. They're all young. They're all really, really young. I think Jalin Hyatt is going to be a baller. People are going to sleep on that man.
I got him.
I got them winning 10 games. I got the Cowboys at 3. I think they win 9. I think you start seeing the demise of what should have been when the Dallas Cowboys had Amari Cooper, a young rookie CeeDee Lamb, that defense. I think you're going to start seeing that fall. They're going to rely on Tony Pollard, but they got nobody behind him. You know, the turmoil between Dak and Trey Lance. I think there's a too much going on there. It's just going to fuck them over. And then I got the Commanders. But the Commanders, I also say winning 9 games, tying with the Cowboys. But the thing is that the Cowboys are going to have the tiebreak. I think the Cowboys sweep the Commanders.
Fair.
Which give them that tiebreaker. But the Commanders are also really good. They have a really good defense. They have weapons on the offense with the double-headed monster of Gibson and Robinson Jr. And they still got Jahan Dotson, Scary Terry, even though Scary Terry's health hasn't been the greatest. I don't know how Sam Howell is going to be, but the Commanders are going in the – once they got out of Snyder's grasp, the Commanders have been making a change.
So I actually agree with your entire ranking, although I'll change the records a little bit. I got the Eagles winning like 14. I got the Giants winning 9. I've got the Cowboys winning 7. They lost Kellen Moore. That, I think, is going to be I think we're going to see really how important Kellen Moore as the OC was to that offense, because I love Kellen Moore. I think he is a fucking genius. And I think losing him is going to be a monstrous blow to that offense. So I only got them winning like 7 games. I think it's going to be a huge regression year because of that, because I don't know who their new offensive coordinator is, but it isn't fucking Kellen Moore. And we all know how Jerry Jones is with his fucking team, and Mike McCarthy is just a yes man. And I think it's going to be a huge regression year for the Cowboys. And then I've only got the Commanders at like 6. I hear you. They've got a good defense. They've Chase Young, fucking Montez Sweat. You know, I understand that they've got the pieces there. Sam Howell is a huge question mark to me. Ron Rivera, I'm not the biggest fan of his coaching. You know, Eric Bieniemy, new OC. There's just too many new owners. There's too many new and moving parts for me to really hop on that bandwagon. So I think they're going to look good in a bunch of games, but I still only give them like 6 wins.
Fair enough.
And then obviously,
and they might change their name over to back to Redskins, because it was the white people that were mad about it, and not the Native American people that were mad about it.
White people always get mad about things that don't fucking concern them. It's annoying. Trust me, I am white people, and it sucks to be fucking lumped in with that. Because I'm not the white people that like, oh, let's go check out that scary noise. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing that here. Anyway, and then obviously we have the AFC East, right? We have the Bills, the Jets, Dolphins, the Patriots.
This one, and everyone knows how we roll. Everyone knows where our loyalty lies. And this is an honest opinion, the hardest division in football currently today.
Yes.
Currently today, because each one of these teams can be first place. Each one of these teams can completely shit the bed and be in last place. But this is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And I'm not saying this is going to be a Tom Brady, Matt Stafford type of run where it's Super Bowl first season in. But I'm telling you right now, this defense is real. In my heart, they're the number one defense in the league. I think they're going to show why they are going to be the number one defense in the league. And they have every weapon possible.
Mm-hmm.
They have Garrett Wilson, who's going to be a top 5 receiver and a number one receiver for a very long time. Alan Lazard, who is a great number 2 receiver. Randall Cobb, who is teaching everyone everything that needs to be said. And the man still comes in clutch to his best friend, Aaron Rodgers. The man can still ball out, lays the boomsticks on people. He does the little things as a receiver. He'll block. He'll teach. He'll make those catches and those plays when he needs to make them. He's not trying to be a star. He's trying to be a leader. You got Mecole Hardman, who's going to be a special team asset and a perfect slot receiver and number 4 receiver to all the Wildcats and all stuff like that. Like I said, our defense is just top-notch. You don't even have to explain our defense. Then you go to our backfield, and we got Breece Hall coming back from an ACL and Dalvin Cook coming back to restart a career somewhere else other than the Vikings. A 4-time Pro Bowler, 4-time 11,000-yard rusher. There's nothing that the Jets can't do besides shoot themselves in their own foot. Nothing. So I got the Jets winning the division. I got them at 12 wins. I got them at 12 wins. I got them winning the division. I got the Bills 2nd. I think the Bills win 11. I think their time is starting to, their gap is starting to close. The window's starting to close. Stephon Diggs is having some turmoil inside the organization with his quarterback and the guys up top. The defense is in 100%. You're still waiting for Von Miller to get back. The running back situation still kind of scares me. I know you got Dalvin Cook's brother James over there. And I think he's going to be a pretty productive back in his career. We just haven't seen it yet. I was sold on him, 2 years ago or last year?
Last year, yeah.
Way, Yep, waiting for him to have a breakout season and be that guy. But the window's closing, and it's looking scary. So I got them winning 11, and then I got the Dolphins winning 9 or 10. You know, Jalen Ramsey being out for half the season, that dynamic duo of the DBs is not going to be there now. You got Xavier Howard still there. You know, he gets into injury problems sometimes. So the defense is still going to be pretty explosive, though. They're pretty fast. The team itself is pretty fast. You still got Tyreek Hill, healthy Tua. Hopefully he doesn't have another CTE problem and another concussion. Jalen Waddle, run game. Not as fast as Mozart, but you got some guys back there. Mm-hmm. I think they still got Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them at 3, winning 9 or possibly 10 games, and then the Patriots winning 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Might be one of the only divisions where you see win more than above 500, all teams above 500. Patriots are still going to have the defense they got because they got Bill Belichick, but the offense is not – like Juju Smith being your number one receiver there. You still got Mac Jones, Ramon Stevenson, but, like, the offense is just so stale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. So I have the Jets 14-3. I've said that all along. I have them winning the division. You know, I have the Bills at like 12-5. You know, I agree with you. Their window is closing. Josh Allen can't continue to take the beatings that he's taking. You know, that cold weather hurts, you know, and you keep getting your ass kicked like he does, you know, and he does it to himself fucking charging down the field. You know, they don't really have a run game. Their defense isn't anything that I'm afraid of. I got the Dolphins in third coming in at like 8 or 9 wins. Tua's health worries me. And like you said, I obviously don't hope for an injury. But I think, unfortunately, it's an inevitable outcome. You know, he's just call it a bad stroke of luck. He's just prone to injury, man. Fucking Tyreek Hill just doesn't. Is a one-trick pony. He's fast and that's it. It doesn't scare me. Their defense doesn't scare me. Their backfield doesn't scare me. Nothing about the Dolphins causes me any concern. And then the Patriots I got went in like 7 in fourth place. I'm starting to no longer be afraid of Bill Belichick. I was wrong about Mac Jones. I was so afraid of him going to the Patriots and I thought we'd be in for another dynasty. I was wrong. I'll take that out happily. You know, they have Ramondre Stevenson. You know, they've got a blue chip defense like they always have that's going to play decently, but I'm no longer concerned about it.
The whole talk of was it Brady or was it Belichick, I don't think it's fair because Belichick is getting older, you know, and
time to put pops in a retirement home.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to say it's Brady over Belichick type debate, but it's getting to the point where Belichick, although still a good coach, is starting to hurt his resume continuously coaching and not getting any. Not to the point where you need to go to the Super Bowl and stuff, but you should still be winning divisions, making the playoffs and stuff like that. So that can be like, look, you wrote off, quote unquote, into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now you're getting to that point where you're getting to that sub 500 range in seasons, and it's just like, so was it now it brings it to people's heads, like, was it Brady? Mm-hmm. Was it this? And I don't think that's fair.
Right. I think it was a perfect storm. I think the stars just aligned perfectly, and they were able to play the game. They were ahead of the NFL in a lot of things for many years, and then the rest of the NFL caught up, and they weren't able to adjust. You said the offense looks stale. I agree. I think the whole team looks stale. I think they just look stagnant and archaic.
They look old school. They look archaic. Like, yep. They're still back in the 80s and 90s.
And the rest of the NFL has moved on. And they just can't compete with it. So, that's it. That's the NFL 2023 predictions, man. I'm excited.
And we stand by it. We said what we said.